when you're talking about coming into your authenticity, there's, hesitate to say, almost like a brand, but you have an image that you portray and you may or may not be aware of it. So having people that are trusted within your circle, both professionally as well as personally, to be able to give you the feedback is a huge benefit, first of all. So networking is a huge thing, but to be able to support each other and give that critical feedback. The other part of it is really understanding, like, why am I here? What am I about? And then why is my team here? What is my team about? So it's not just the professional goals, but also the personal.
Welcome to Interrupt, where we talk about interrupting the status quo. My name is Linda Yates. I'm your host. I'm also known as the Image Energizer. Today, I have the delightful pleasure of visiting with Jamie Russ on balancing authenticity and authority. Listen in. Welcome to Interrupt, where we talk about interrupting the status quo. Whether you are in a leadership position, formal or informal leadership position, or you're looking to step into that, we talk about all things with regard to leadership. My name is Linda Yates. I'm your host. I'm also known as the Image Energizer. And I am so delighted to have coming back to the show, Jamie Russ. Welcome, Jamie.
Welcome. Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here again.
I am so excited to talk to you. I had so much fun the last time we chatted, and you all are going to love Jamie's energy. And let me tell you a little bit about Jamie. Jamie Russ is the founder of Linsight Solutions, a company dedicated to helping small and mid-sized businesses harness the power of data, technology, and strategic project management. With over 20 years of experience in data analytics and system integration, Jamie is passionate about turning complex data into actionable insights. She specializes in building and guiding businesses to make informed decisions and achieve sustainable growth. So, thank you again for coming on the show today.
Yes,
all right, we are going to be talking about balancing authenticity and authority as you set down your leadership journey. Jamie, to kick us off, would you please tell us about your leadership journey?
So I started a little over 20 years ago in kind of corporate America. This is before the big mortgage explosion in like 2003, 2008, like those two cycles. Started in data analytics, didn't even really know what that was, helping companies, and then just got on the corporate train. And went everything from project management to Six Sigma, when that was a huge thing in businesses, and went through building dashboards to building in efficiencies and doing all of these integration points between systems, and all of that sounds super complicated, but really it was about pulling teams together to find solutions and then implementing the solutions. But I was doing it for corporate America. So after about 20 years of that, I decided to go ahead and make the switch. I had always kept small business clients or medium-sized business clients on the side. Always said that corporate pays the bills, but small business is where it's at. So now I've gotten to the point in my career where I can make that shift. So now I can do the full time with the small and mid-sized businesses and help them with some of the skills that were so prolific and so available in corporate America. So some of the structure that we pulled over, and then of course the accurate application of that for each one of the small businesses and what they're doing. So it's been an interesting space, but a lot of it has been leading teams towards solutions and implementations and customer journeys.
Managing projects. So give us an idea with regard to your smallest and your biggest project that you've ever had the opportunity.
Yes. So one of the smaller projects that I can think I did with the biggest impact was about 6 or 7 years ago. I was training in martial arts in a local martial arts studio for karate, and was talking with the director and the owner of the studio. And they were like, oh, we're just having this problem specifically with, like, had all these paper evaluations that we would do for the different belt exams. So then what would happen is they would have to take a few days to a couple of weeks to be able to go through all of those, put the information together, figure out who passed, who didn't, and then notify the parents, because we had all age ranges. And so it was creating a situation where they were constantly getting questions after testing. Did my kid pass? Mm-hmm. Did he not? All of this kind of stuff. So I said, I may have a solution for that. What platform are you using? Microsoft or Google? What are you on? So we got to chatting, and we ended up implementing a digital forms thing for basically digitizing their evaluations. So now in real time, they can communicate directly with the parents who are sitting in the lobby and say, okay, here's how we're doing so far. But it also saves them hours of administrative, hours of time. And so it's not just a customer service boom, but it's also a big cost savings for them in terms of time. But yeah, it's we implemented that. And now we're getting to the point, because we've had about 14 cycles. So now we've collected all of this data. So now we're getting to the point where we are starting to look at it to analyze trends in the testing cycles based on their standard operating procedures and what they test for over that period of time. Are there certain skills that do or do not translate well or that test well, and why? So we're getting into all of those analytics just now. That's the second phase.
Wow, that's great.
So yeah, that's probably, I think, the smallest in terms of effort, but the biggest impact that I can think of. It's a little bit different. It was quite a bit different, actually. When you're talking about corporate America, you're talking about all these big systems, and working for a large retailer in the area, we did several implementations where we would integrate overseas procurement with fulfillment on our side for supply chain. They were sending Excel spreadsheets back and forth through email to be able to tie the data together from what their suppliers were giving them to what the customers were, what's available on the shelf or on the virtual shelf. So we had to integrate that whole system, and that took several months. It's everything from the small to the large to everything in between, trying to figure out what the best solution is and get that implemented.
That's great. That's cool. So, Jamie, what does being authentic mean to you?
So there are personalities that naturally display this authoritative tone, and all of this naturally project their voice and be able to sound like exactly, they know exactly what they're talking about. So there is this kind of natural presence for a certain number of people. Authenticity in that is making sure that you are doing for the greater good. So not just for yourself, or not just in it for your own pocket, as it were, but in it to be able to expose, to be able to share a truth, usually with some kind of backing, whether it's data or whether it's cited sources, et cetera. So that authenticity and building that trust over time is really what people with that natural ability for authority should be striving for, instead of just saying whatever comes out of their mouth, because they know what they sound like. They know that they have this presence, this authority. And so doing the research and making sure that what you're talking about is not only grounded in truth, but also helpful in the moment to whether it's a business, whether it's an individual.
I love that aspect of being grounded in truth. So if one of our listeners, viewers is struggling with really tapping into who they are authentically, and especially as they're looking and wanting to step into leadership, or we've got a leader that feels, I'm just doing it the way I've seen it be done, or it's just the way it's done in our culture or in our organization. So what would you say to that person, how to step into their authenticity?
So there's a couple of things that I can think of. Trying to really understand what you're about, but not just what you're about and what you're here for, but also how you're perceived, is a huge thing. So admittedly, I'm still working on it at my age. I think it's an ongoing kind of awareness and ability to be able to put yourself out there. But when you're talking about coming into your authenticity, there's, hesitate to say, almost like a brand, but you have an image that you portray, and you may or may not be aware of it. So having people that are trusted within your circle, both professionally as well as personally, to be able to give you the feedback is a huge benefit, first of all. So networking is a huge thing, but to be able to support each other and give that critical feedback. The other part of it is really understanding, like, why am I here? What am I about? And then why is my team here? What is my team about? So it's not just the professional goals, but also the personal goals. I think we're starting to see a shift. Everybody hears this. We're starting to see a shift from, how shall I put it? I'm going to oversimplify this, but I'm from Gen X. So there was a lot of just pushing through. It doesn't matter who you are, just get the job done. A lot of that, and again, oversimplifying and over, what's the word, generalizing. But I think more so the next generations, the newer generations, are getting more and more aware of jobs are jobs and personal life. They don't always have to mix in order to be able to get the job done, make the money, and have your personal goals satisfied. So there's an understanding of not only the generational gaps that you need to understand why you're here, what you're here for, what you're fighting for, what you're doing, but also what your team's perspective is and what their goals are and what they're, and you have to find a way to work within that, right? So you have to work within, because there's going to be a gap. There always is between leadership and people who actually, we've been in both of those roles, but it takes a bit of work and understanding and compassion for the other person, empathy for the other person and the other people on your team. Yes, you have to get a job done, but you also need to understand where they're coming from so that we can get this, we can get the job done, and we can get the personal goals. And
I love that, the fact that you're stepping back and saying, what is it that, what am I about? What is our team about? What do we want it to be about? God, exactly. Those are really great points to bring out. And
yeah, and particularly with small and mid-sized businesses, the brand typically has a voice. Corporate, they do a lot of, with larger companies and corporatized America in particular, there's a lot of brand awareness. They do a lot of work to be able to put out, this is what we're about, and this is what everybody in our company is about. Smaller and mid-sized businesses, there's a blend between the personal usually and what the brand is itself. So it's, there's, I think that makes it more accessible. I think that makes it more authentic for customers in particular, but also the people that work there. So you really have to make sure that if there's not alignment, there's an understanding as to why there's not alignment and figure out whether that's okay. You know, because not everybody has to be there rowing the boat. They just need to not be in the way. Right.
So, there's a lot of points. So when is exercising authority important?
So businesses exist to make money. That's the bottom line. Whether, and unless you're a nonprofit, if you're small, mid-sized, corporate, doesn't matter. We're there to be able to provide service, provide products, be able to make the money to keep the business going, but also to support the people who work for it. So yes, there has to be that authority, that person leading the way, providing the vision and saying, okay, we're either going to get on board or we have to find an alternate solution. So not everything has to be catered towards, not everything is going to work, right? Not every combination is going to work. But the authority is having compassion and empathy in those moments when things don't work, so that you can have conversations that are open and respectful of the other people that work with you to be able to come to a resolution. The resolution might be, what, thank you for your time, but we are going to have to part ways. We're going to have to refill the position, or vice versa. It's not, something's working, something's not working. Here's what is, here what is, here's what isn't. But it's about that open and honest communication and making sure that you're moving. So that authority, that person who is running that ship, setting that vision, setting that direction, setting that brand, if you will, they have to be clear in their communications, that person does. But they also have to be clear in setting the expectations for the team. They also have to make sure that they are being empathetic to a degree to what the situation is, and to be able to make those decisions quickly.
That's,
to move on to
All right, we're going to take a quick break from visiting with Jamie. We'll be back in just a minute. As you're striving to climb the corporate ladder, it's imperative that you take your education into your own hands. This is why I recommend continual training and personal development from TSC training programs. Their expert trainers can help you improve your sales skills, your mindset, and your leadership skills. Programs are delivered remotely and can accommodate for individuals or team training. If you want to interrupt the status quo, I highly recommend you invest in yourself and improve your skills. Find out more about TSC training programs at thesalesevangelist.com/training. Welcome back, everyone. I'm visiting with Jamie Russ on balancing authenticity and authority. You bet. Absolutely. So, how can, though, with regard to balance, balance to me is sometimes, it's hard to perhaps achieve, but how, if you were to sit down with someone aspiring to step into leadership and like, how can I still be myself, but yet exercise authority? So how, what would be three things you would say to that individual?
Ah, so three things to say to an individual stepping into leadership, looking how to balance between authenticity of self
and authority.
Right? Specifically what you're asking for, and your authority within whatever role that they're trying to fulfill. I think the first thing is, going back to what I said earlier, is really know what you're about and what you're doing in that role. So what your authority is and what your direction is and what you're setting for the team, and being clear and consistent about that, first of all. Because when you're working for a company, it is about the brand.
Right.
Yeah, Secondly, as a balance to that, understand that somewhere in the realm of that, we are all individuals, right? We are not always that person who shows up to work every day. Everybody has a mix of personalities. Everybody has a mix of different things, not to mention the daily goings on and how that might affect individuals. So there has to be a bit of empathy, not only for, and grace, for not only what you're going through at the moment, but what your team or teammates might be going through in the moment. And the third thing is, you can be direct. I think this escapes a lot of, I'm going to say, a lot of women in leadership. You can be direct without being rude or insensitive, or there's definitely a balance you have to strike there. And sometimes in environments, we lose that because we're just fight to get to the goal, to get this done. But yeah, trying to maintain your civility.
Sure.
And what's the word? So pardon me, Linda, I'm tripping over the exact word, but like trying to maintain your compassion. Yeah, trying to maintain your compassion and your empathy with the situation, particularly when you run mm-hmm. into a challenge. You can be direct, you can be clear in what you want without mm-hmm. being overbearing. And I think every person within the environment and the situation that they're in and the people that they're dealing with has to mm-hmm. find that balance, and it will shift and change. But if you know who you are and what you're doing there and what the goal is, well, we're at work, this is the way mm-hmm. it works. When we clock out, we can joke about all the other stuff, but when we're here, we have mm-hmm. things we need to get done. And there has to be that compartmentalization. There has to be that kind of difference there to be able to maintain that balance. And the thing that I struggle with the most is letting it go after clock out. I'm going to say clock out because small business owners, there is no clock out. But it's the biggest thing that I've struggled with in my career is at the end of the day, switching those modes. I'm here for my family now. I'm here for the things that I need to do and to decompress from whatever stressful day potentially I've had. So you have to be able to find those moments for yourself to be able to let go mm-hmm. of whatever's happening and not be in an authority for a minute and to share with the people that you're with and make sure that you know yourself. And then you can bring yourself back the next day and compartmentalize, do what you need to do.
That's great. Those are good. And I think that letting go sometimes can be tough. Turning it off. At least I know I struggle with that.
Yeah. And I think there's a misconception, at least partial misconception, that people in leadership, they're not vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I think there's a certain level of management where you forget for a second that there's actually a personality there. And again, it depends on the business. It depends on the situation, but that everybody's governed by their own experiences and that not every reaction or everything that happens is necessarily because of something that you have done for those anxious type people, but also you have to be aware of people have their own thing. Yeah. So disconnecting at the end of the day can be hugely important for the individual. But as I had mentioned, that I think we forget that people in leadership have personalities. They are their own person. And people in that role might also feel like, or in those roles might also feel like they don't have space or space to be vulnerable and accessible. And it depends on the situation, depends on the team, but trying to be that vulnerable and to an extent authentic person, mm-hmm. absolutely. But again, compartmentalizing and saying, okay, we're at work, we have this to do, we have to do these things, let's chat about that after. You can set those boundaries.
And I think the boundaries, that word is really important. It's not just in work, it's in other parts of your life too, is just being very clear what the mission is and then showing your best self. And I love that. And your values become a part of that. I think that's really important. So are there any examples of leaders that you feel like, or stories that you feel like have done this well, that you've seen that have modeled this aspect well?
Yes. So I can remember when I first started way back, I had a mentor. She was actually my team lead before I got into Six Sigma stuff. Her name was Miriam. And she was fantastic because I was literally the overworked, workaholic, like data, just give me every limit. It's just all the spreadsheets, all the things. I was just like, hey. And it was hard for me because I didn't have any, at the time, didn't have any business mm-hmm. awareness, like people awareness. Like I didn't have, it's hard to explain, but it was kind of because I get so frustrated as an analyst on the project. I get so frustrated, but that's not what the data says. This is what they said. That's just, here's what it is. And I think one time she said, I don't remember exactly the situation that spurred this, but her response just went, huh? Like it has stuck with me forever. And it was like, do you really think that these people are like not human, that there's not, it's not all about the data. Sure. It's about understanding it within context. And it was like as an analyst, and especially for years later, getting into analytics mm-hmm. and what that means, especially data science and blah, 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 it's just that light bulb moment of, oh yeah, context is important. Duh. But I remember her saying, do you really think that these people are mm-hmm. flawless, basically? Like the leadership is not flawless. Management is not flawless. They are human. They can make decisions outside of what the black mm-hmm. and white data is telling you. So it took me quite a while to figure that out and what exactly that meant. A lot of trial and error, unfortunately. But yeah, that one really stuck with me.
Good.
And it was,
I like that.
Yeah, and you can hear it in my responses earlier too. It's I think she really understood the dynamic, team dynamic, and was a great mentor.
That's awesome. That's so powerful. So what can a leader do if this balance gets out of whack?
Again, depending on the environment and the team that they're willing. I don't necessarily, I think I'm going to blow some people's minds. I don't necessarily think it's a problem to offer, if things get out of balance, and say, okay, guys, I am human. Here's the situation. I say offer an apology, but with empathy and understanding of the situation. If you've messed up, own it. Like, you can't expect your people to own their mistakes if you can't own your mistakes as a leader, particularly people in authority. But it's about, this is about, or if they, if you've made a mistake, not a mistake, if you made a decision that they don't understand. So tying back in the Merriam logic, if you will, it's okay to remind them empathetically, hey, I am the one whose decision this is. If I make a mistake, then yes, I understand the implications, but it is my decision to make. And this is what we're going to do. And I welcome your feedback. That's fine. I may or may not listen to that advice. I may or may not take that into consideration, but here's what has to happen. Here's what I'm seeing has to happen. So it's going back to the boundaries and expectations, clear communications. If you mess up, we're all human. I don't understand. It has always eluded me for those leaders that don't. It's like, why are you blaming the team? That was your decision. But I don't understand why you're taking it out on us. But it's just, it's like just as simple as, you know what? We made the wrong decision. We need to stop that course of action. We need to shift. Things happen in business, decisions will be made, and here's how we're going to recover. I think that's, that person of authority needs to understand, how are we going to recover and get things back on track?
Powerful.
Yeah, and just people make mistakes. I struggle. That's one of the main things I've struggled with in business was people are going to make mistakes. People are going to make decisions, and they're not always going to be the right decisions, but how do you recover? Like the freak out and the blaming everybody else. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It was either a group decision or it was your decision. It doesn't matter. Somebody made a mistake. Yeah, let's move on.
That's right.
Let's fix
that's
it and move on.
Yeah, I love that. So, Jamie, what keeps you motivated?
Oh, so I love data. Data is a big thing. Yeah, so it always has been. But it's more about what keeps me motivated. I like a variety of things. I am quite a generalist within a specific kind of, not really a silo, but specific vein, if you will. So analytics, data analytics, and getting into all of the things coming up with AI, I think it's all fascinating. But they're tools in a tool belt that were not available before. So now, like, how do I use this to my advantage? Or how can I have this problem, these two systems aren't communicating together. I was like, there are integration systems and platforms that help with this. They're low cost. And now with AI, we have low code, no code solutions coming through. That can be absolutely fantastic. So the projects keep me motivated. Like I'm a problem solver. I'm an implementer. Once it's in and it's solid and it's working, okay, that's great. That'll work for X period of time and then we'll circle back. But I need to move on to the next project now because I have that variety of interests and it just,
that's
love doing
great.
The projects.
That's
awesome. Yeah, it's just, we do in our personal time, we do a lot of strategy games. So there's a lot of public solving and ciphers and all this kind of stuff that we go through and it's fun. It's a blast. So I like to try to apply that to the business and, okay, so what's the problem? What's the major pain point? Okay, how can we alleviate this? Is it a symptom? Is it an actual problem? What's going on? Yeah,
That's cool. That's great.
Simple as that.
So have you ever been interrupted? And if so, how did you overcome that interruption?
Oh, yeah. So a couple of times, let's be perfectly forthright for a second. Toxic environments do exist. There are also many places where toxicity isn't a problem. I have run into a couple of situations where the corporate credo, if you will, just overrides all, including people. And it's frustrating. It's hurtful. It's some of those things. I also ran into a situation where I'm going to be perfectly forthright again. I am a fantastic analytics person. I love data. I love trying to figure out what it says, blah, blah, blah. Some of the newer predictive models are a little questionable to me because I don't like black box models, meaning that does all the stuff and then it just gives you the output. And I'm like, okay, that's great. But I have to know what math did you use to get there? Like, I don't, and there seems to be a huge rise now in accessibility for AI where it's, oh, you just plug in the stuff and it just tells you exactly what to do. You know, ChatGPT is a huge thing. I just plug in a prompt and it tells me exactly what to do. Okay, that's great. But it's a tool. It's not an answer. So when I was working as a data scientist, specifically working on predictive models, the interruption was there was quite a bit of a disagreement on the direction. And most of my push was about governance and solidity. And let's not make a Zillow mistake where the predictive model is telling us to invest in this particular area or this particular direction. And then we haven't been calibrating the model for the last several months. So it's saying, buy all these properties, Zillow. And then you go and buy all the properties. And then it's like, oh, the market didn't do what we thought it was going to do because of all of these other indicators we completely ignored and didn't calibrate for. It's in my mind, it's there's calibration, there's monitoring, there's a sense of governance and responsibility that goes along with those models, particularly predictive models. And that was less of a concern. And so that interruption resulted in me leaving that job. And it was just like, okay, maybe I do better as the analytics problem solver and the project. The data science is going down that road, like the predictive road that it's, I think we need to have a little more scrutiny on what the tools are and understanding that they are tools and not an end all be all. And I think that's going to take a while to make its case and come back around. So it's, and that would be the interruption. I think I was headed full on to that data science route and getting into those algorithms, everything, and quickly learned most of the industry sees them as solutions instead of tools. I think I'm going to take a step back from that now.
Oh, great.
So yeah, that was an interruption in the goal setting that I had for my career.
And what an awareness that you came from with that. That just encapsulates basically what you were saying in knowing what you're about and speaking your truth. And I think that's really powerful. So thank you, Jamie. It was great chatting with you. So if individuals like to connect with you or follow up with you, what's the best place for them to do that?
So I am on LinkedIn. It's J-A-I-M-E. Everybody spells my name wrong. So it's J-A-I-M-E, R-U, S as in Sam, S as in Sam. I also am available on linsightsolutions.com. All my contact information is there. I've spun up, I have a Linsight page on not only LinkedIn, but Instagram, Facebook, et cetera. So all the contact information is there. I am easily accessible through phone or email. And yeah, just reach out.
That's great.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to talk to an individual, a leader in the industry with regard to data, and you definitely need to check out Jamie. So it's been so much fun visiting with you, and thanks again for chatting today.
Yes, of course. Always a pleasure, Linda. Thank you so much.
It was so fun to catch up with Jamie today and get her insight with regard to this authenticity and authority and kind of how to balance the two and move forward as a leader. I'd encourage you to connect with Jamie. She knows what she's talking about. She's awesome, as you said, and you can tell also great energy, and she cares very, very much for the answers and solving the problems. If you haven't already done so, we'd encourage you to check out our other episodes that are on this YouTube channel, as well as wherever you listen to your podcast, and give us a rating or review. We'd love to have that so that we can be seen by those that can be taught and uplifted through this process. And also check out our Facebook group page. Just want to remind you that you have strengths waiting to overcome, possibilities to realize, so that you can accomplish not just your goals, but your dreams. For I truly know that with God, nothing is impossible. Have a great week, everyone. Take care, y'all.